The Pharisees just kept trying to trap Jesus. There was no end to it. We see that in the Gospels. They were experts in Jewish law, and they kept trying to either show that Jesus didn't know the law, which never worked out. They were never able to do that. Or to get him to take sides in some kind of controversial issue with the idea that that would polarize his followers. It would break them apart and they would fall away from following him. And in this hot topic of divorce, they failed again to recognize who they were dealing with. The Pharisees brought up the legal controversy that was going on about divorce. And I think it's important for us to understand the cultural background behind this so that we can really take this gospel passage in that context, because there's a very important message for us to take from that. This is not an issue about human law. As far as Jesus was concerned, this was an issue about God's intention. So in Jesus' time, what legally justified divorce was a widely disputed issue, and there were two rabbis who had opposing views. There were followers of the rabbi Hillel, and they held a very lenient interpretation of the law in Deuteronomy 24. Suppose a man marries a woman but later discovers something about her that's shameful. He writes her a letter of divorce. He gives it to her and sends her away. The Hillel Jews took the position that a man could divorce for whatever reason he wanted to. And by the way, that was not allowed in the opposite direction. The woman could not initiate a divorce. Remember, this is a very patristic culture. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot different than our understanding of how we have equal rights, equal legal rights. The followers of Rabbi Shammai were much stricter in their interpretation of this law in Deuteronomy. And divorce would only be allowed on the grounds of infidelity by the woman, So not infidelity by the man. That was not grounds for divorce. The Pharisees wanted Jesus to take sides in this argument. They wanted Jesus to take either side because that would split his followers in a whole bunch of controversy. So Jesus ended up passing over the Pharisees' issue altogether, saying, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you." In other words, it was reality then, and it's reality now, that sometimes divorce is necessary. But the core message that we should take from this, and the core message Jesus was trying to put across, is that's not what God wants. That's not God's intent. Jesus quoted Genesis 2, "The two will become one flesh." And I have always understood that concept of one flesh, that I know I want in my marriage, and I want in the weddings that I preside, I want in the couples that I know, that this being one flesh means that each partner will be happier, will be better, will be stronger, will feel more fulfilled, will feel more a complete person when they're together than if they were separate. I think that's what one flesh means. If through our human frailty that becomes impossible, I believe that God would not demand that someone would withstand bitter resentment or fear or rage or, God forbid, psychological or physical abuse. I mean, there's no tolerance for that. And to think that God would set the institution of marriage above those things just doesn't make sense to me of the God and the love of God that I understand. what Jesus was teaching about and the core of all of these lessons today, when you read through them, is the teaching about relationships being sacred. In God's eyes, relationships are what our life is about. And it's about our working at them and nourishing them and honoring them and investing in our relationships with God and with each other. But we certainly might experience times that it's impossible, not possible, to resolve a disagreement with somebody. There might be times that we feel like we got to win the argument. And it took me a long time to find out if one person wins, it means the other person lost. And so, is that really what we want? It might feel impossible to forgive a hurt. And I can think of a couple of faces that go in front of my mind of people in my life, a couple of people that I've had a hard time. It's taken decades to forgive. There are times we make our personal independence more important than being one flesh with another person. It's a tragic human reality that some relationships fail. As we look at all the relationships in our life, we need to do the work to model each of them after God's intention. Jesus holds up the example of little children in this gospel passage today. And it's not about them being naive followers. It's not about them being immature believers. It's about them having absolute trust. I think that's the symbol that the children represent, filled with trust. Well, last Thursday was the feast day for St. Francis of Assisi, and I see a direct connection to what Francis's life and ministry was all about. We honored him with the pet blessing yesterday. We're going to do that again at the 10 o'clock service. We had something like 15 or 16 people, 10 pets, including two turtles. And these turtles were like 3 inches, and I said, "So how old are they?" And they said, "Well, they're about 6 months old." And I said, "Well, how big are they going to get?" And they said, "Well, maybe the size of one of the dogs that's walking around here." I said, "They get that big?" And they said, "Well, by the time they're 60. I said, "60 years old?" And they said, "Well, they can live to be over 100, I guess." Anyways, it was the first time. I mean, I've had blessings with hamsters and rabbits and birds and horses. I've never blessed a turtle before, but that was really fun. You know, my message in both services, the one yesterday and the one at 10 o'clock, is about Francis's deep, deep reverence for all of creation. It's not just about animals. He wrote that everything in creation has the same Father. And as a result, you and I are brothers and sisters for each other and with all of creation. He wrote in his Canticle of the Creatures and also the Canticle of the Sun, he refers to brother sun and sister moon and sister stars and the wind and the water and the animals and each other, all he terms as brothers and sisters. We are people of a faith in the sanctity of relationship. And Francis's preaching was all about the sanctity of that relationship with everything in creation. Everything that God created has God's handprint in it. And we need to honor that relationship. It's the depth of this bond that you and I show when we pray the prayers of the people for each other, right? It's reflecting that depth of relationship. It's when we say the general confession together. It's not a private confession. It's generally any way that we wrong each other. We want to recognize that and ask God to help us fix it. It's when we take Holy Communion together from a common cup. We're sharing that bond. When we vow as a community to support the newly baptized, that's part of the rite that we all as a community offer that support. We do the same in a marriage ceremony, that we as a community say, "We will," right? We all say that together. Our connection with each other is deeply rooted in God's intention for all of creation. The Son of God entered a world that's filled with separation. That's just part of our human reality, I guess. But the Son of God brought a divine plan to end the separation and brought a mission to heal all of us who suffer from it, to heal our hardness of heart, to help us recognize that we belong to each other and that we belong to the God who has refused to ever separate from us. Amen. Thank you.